My name is Joy Warren. I'm a National Coordinator for Fluoride Free Alliance UK. Now, we're the national group and we spend our whole time trying to stop fluoridation in the UK. I first got started in 2002 when I went to a talk at Friends of the Earth given by a medical doctor who had been made ill when she came to Coventry, which is fluoridated. And she became ill with hypothyroidism. Where she was before, I think it was London, there was no fluoride in the drinking water. So the mystery illness bamboozled her completely. It took several years for her to be able to say categorically that she had hypothyroidism. And then she realised, well, somebody told her that Westman's water is comprehensively fluoridated. As a medical doctor, she did some very profound research and found out that fluoride is antagonistic to the endocrine system.
What is the endocrine system?
Oh, it's the system in the body which several glands, most of them paired, and they produce hormones. Because without them working efficiently, our bodies go through a whole lot of grief. Because she was low in iodine in her body and because she was drinking fluoride not knowingly, she became ill very quickly. She finally worked it all out. She got herself a whole house filtration system. And that helped a lot, and she gradually got her health back. Now, the way you challenge something like this is to try and repeat the conditions. She didn't know she was repeating the conditions. And she put in a new filter one day when the old one had run out, and she became ill again. And then she realized she'd been sent the wrong one. So she put the correct one in and got better again. The upshot of this is she left the West Midlands and doesn't live here anymore. I believe she's in Derbyshire. Right, so I listened to her. I thought, nah, surely our government couldn't do that to us, put something in the drinking water which is poisonous and does that sort of thing to your endocrines. No way. But it took me a whole year to do assiduously read as much as I could. And I finally came to the conclusion that, yes, it was the fluoride and the absence of iodide, which was causing hypothyroidism. Well, since then, in 2014, we had a mapping exercise done by the University of Kent, where they looked at all the diagnoses of hypothyroidism, and they mapped those diagnoses over the areas which were fluoridated in England. And the conclusion was that in England, in fluoridated areas, there was 33% more hypothyroidism than in non-fluoridated areas. And in Birmingham, there's almost double the amount of hypothyroidism.
Now, you are reminding me very much of something called the low-level radiation campaign from the 1980s, late 80s and 1990s, run by Chris Busby. He was an independent scientist, he still is, and he was going around the nuclear power stations, literally knocking on doors, talking to people, and he picked up quite a lot of anecdotal evidence of increased child leukemia around these power stations, which wasn't being picked up by the medical professionals or obviously by the nuclear industry. And so as a result, he did proper scientific studies and found that actually around these nuclear power stations, which were supposed to be safe, there was a big increase in child leukemia. He was then destroyed and his funding cut by George Monbiot in The Guardian, who labelled him as a quack and suddenly became a very pro-nuclear environmentalist. But this sort of thing goes back. Maybe we could start at the beginning, because the water system and the whole industry used to be run by boards, water boards, which were open to the public. The minutes were all published. And this was really the way things were done from time immemorial, certainly since World War II. And then Margaret Thatcher privatised most of our water in England, anyway, in the 1980s. And then there was this terrible thing straight away, literally within months of the privatisation, called the Camelford water disaster, where poisonous chemicals were poured in by one of these newly privatised water companies in the southwest of England. and many people were seriously and extremely ill. This should have been a sign to everybody. This is a bad idea, having private companies running this and not having it open to public scrutiny. So can you say something a bit about the privatisation and about Camelford?
Oh, Camelford, yes. It was a delivery driver who delivered aluminium sulphate into the wrong tank. He should have put it in a special tank marked, well, it wasn't actually marked, he was a new guy as well. He should have put it into a storage tank specifically for this particular water treatment chemical. And fortunately, he stuck it in the outflow of the water water treatment works. So treated water was going through and he stuck the aluminium sulphate in it. It caused a lot of degenerative diseases, especially Alzheimer's, dementia. And a lot of people died progressively with that complaint over the decades. Southwest Water didn't tell people for several days why their water had turned blue.
So what was there evidence that the water company knew but deliberately withheld this? Because obviously there could be compensation, embarrassment, etc.
It's still going on in a way. I mean, the wife of Doug Cross, who was a biological chemist, an environmentalist, one of the founders of our anti-fluoridation movement, she contracted Alzheimer's, very aggressive Alzheimer's. And when they did the autopsy, they could see how bad it was. I think there was a court case or an inquiry about 15 years ago. It's still not been resolved, as far as I know.
Now, one of the specific things about water and fluoridation is that it seems like it's being done very slowly, bit by bit, across the country. And so it's actually not difficult to know at any one time, like today, for example, whereabouts the water is actually deliberately fluoridated. So can you just take us through that? And whereabouts, maybe at the moment, there are efforts to get fluoride into our drinking water?
Okay. There is a map on the internet which shows you the areas which are deliberately fluoridated and the areas which are naturally fluoridated. There's a big red splodge up on the northeast coast in Hartlepool, which is naturally fluoridated with magnesium fluoride at 1.9 milligrams. That's almost double the amount that's added to drinking water. The water company, which is, I think it's Anglian Water, reduces that down to 1.3 by bringing in non-fluoride water. But it's still very high. It's 0.3 more than is added. So the UK government is allowed to add 1 milligram. Hartlepool has 1.3. And the natural background level of fluoride in Hartlepool is 1.9. It's the highest area in England. So the map will show you that the areas which are deliberately fluoridated is entire West Midlands, with the exception of Herefordshire. Then we have to look at Nantwich and Crewe, West Cumbria, just above Sellafield. All that area is fluoridated. You go across the country and Consett, which is an old mining community in County Durham, is fluoridated, as is Stanley next door. A lot of Northumbria is. I guess there's a lot of coal mining up in Northumbria as well. This was all done in the 1980s. I wonder why. And then we move down to Bedfordshire, central Bedfordshire, for heaven's sakes. And then we move across to, or up to Lincolnshire. And some of Sheffield is fluoridated by accident, because that's the way the water flows in the pipes. So Lincolnshire, a little bit of Derbyshire, a little bit of Leicestershire. It's a bit of a patchy thing.
Okay, so whereabouts can we find the map, online? Whereabouts do we go?
Let's see, Drinking Water Inspectorate, I think. Oh, you just put in on the search engine a map of fluoridated areas, England. It's also on the British Fluoridation Society website. got a publication online which waxes lyrical about the wonders of fluoride.
Now, look, I would rather go to your website personally.
Thank you.
So whereabouts is that?
My website is www.ukfffa.org.uk.
So that's Fluoride Free Alliance.
It's mostly the old name for our alliance, but I changed it, but I took one F out. So it's three Fs. It's ukfffa.org.uk.
Okay, so how come it's this patchwork? Why isn't it a bit more consistent?
Because since 1987, when the last fluoridation programme was initiated, people like me, and before me, National Pure Water Association, were really successful at bending the ear of local authorities who had the power in those days to say yes or no.
Yeah, so how did you do that?
Very much hard work, writing to councils, writing to chief executives, writing to all the councillors where we could, attending all the meetings where the item came up in the agenda.
Once you realise whether or not you're fluoridated, what can you do about it if you don't want fluoride?
If you are fluoridated, the only thing you can do is either move away and hope they're not going to catch you with some more fluoridation, or you filter your water. And also, don't pay your water charges.
Pardon?
We don't pay our water charges. Why should we? It's not drinking water, it's medicinal water.
So how successful has that been? I mean, I would have thought you're going to get go to court, county court judgments, that sort of thing against you.
Well, we have to be very careful. If they write to us, you write back. If there's a threatening letter from their solicitor, you write back. You write to the chief executive officer. You say three or four magic words like you're putting hydrofluoric acid into our drinking water and that is not permitted under the law, which you quote, to take us to court. It's also it's not drinking water because it's admitted that it's a medicine, and medicinal water is not covered by the Drinking Water Directive, which is retained post Brexit. And if it's not drinking water, then the guidelines and the standards in the Drinking Water Directive, which are followed by the water companies, do not apply to medicinal water. So therefore, there are no guidelines. So we have to just basically set the clock down to 0 milligrams of fluoride. And therefore, you are poisoning. So you're putting too much in. We don't want it. I do not pay for medicinal water. I've been paying for drinking water all this time. When I realised it was excluded in the Drinking Water Directive, that was it. I'm not paying. And you can't say it's a debt, because how can I pay? How can I have a debt for something I do not want to buy?
How successful has that campaign been?
It's patchy across the West Midlands, of course, and you don't get to hear how many people are doing it. But as we're going through our legal action at the moment, I'm going to hear about more and more people who are doing it. We do have guidelines or guidance on how to do it and how to get away with not going to court. The most important thing is, if you do get a court hearing, you have to turn up. And you have to then tell the judge that you want to, how can I say, counter. You want to do a counterclaim. And they would probably then say, well, why? You give them the reasons. And they say, oh, that's something we can't deal with. We have to push you up to a higher court. We haven't got there yet. So far, I've heard that three people who have stopped in other parts of England have had a charge put on their house because they didn't turn up, or they didn't make a good enough excuse for not turning up to court.
Ah.
It wasn't a case of the fact they didn't defend themselves well in court. They just didn't go. And you know, they really should have.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're going to take on the water companies legally, you can't just not show up. Although, I mean, there are actually quite a lot of campaigns out there that should we say, barrack room lawyer campaigns that make people think that they have certain rights when they actually don't. Obviously, yes, you do have to show up in court and you have to know what you're doing. So do you have a sort of legal briefing paper you can send out to people if they want one?
I ask them if they want to go as far as sending out the model letters, they should contact me for me to send them the model letters so I know exactly where they are at in the process, and I can then, I can't guide them, I'm not a legal person, but I can advise them on what not to do. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't provide a legal briefing. All I can say is these are the laws you need to be aware of, and these are the laws you quote. Mm. And a judge has to listen. And in fact, if that law has never been tested, then surely the judge can't duck it. He has to then consider, and if he can't do it himself, he has to push it up to a higher court. To test the law, it has to have a judge saying, "This, you're quite correct, Mrs. Warren, you know, we can't do that, and I agree with you." And then his judgment will say, "Right, I've looked at all the evidence, and I think that perhaps this is not drinking water, it's medicinal water." Now, we have got three precedents throughout the world on this particular aspect. One was in Scotland in 1982, which caused Muggy Thatcher to legalise fluoridation in 1985. The judge in 1982, Judge Lord Jauncey, said it's a medicine and it's not a responsibility of Strathclyde District Council to add a medicine to drinking water. Right, that was the most important one. There was one in the 1950s in Canada. I can't quote you the source of that one. And then the third one was 2018 in New Zealand, where a Supreme Court, I think of three judges, the ruling was that fluoridated water is a medicine. Right, so with the precedents, we've got a very strong case. And obviously, we can say, look, it's not in the drinking water directive, therefore it's not drinking water. Full stop. How can they charge us for something which is not drinking
water? Well, it's a really good question, and I think imagine judges might actually enjoy grappling with this one. But, I mean, you suggested the idea of a counterclaim. Has that actually happened? Have you done that?
No, not yet, no. No, we're doing it now. In that we are going out to a legal group challenge, which is rather like class action. And we're gathering together as many people we can who are fluoridated or who are threatened and saying to them, we want your name on the bottom of this letter before action, which we'll be sending to the government's solicitors department soon. And the more we can get, the better. And the number of people backing our action is actually quite a strong thing. You know, as I say, we had to have more people if we can.
But surely, I mean, your counterclaim is not against the government, it's against the water companies, surely.
Well, yes and no. The water companies have to do it if the government tells them they have to do it. But you could say the same for Nazi doctors in Auschwitz, couldn't we, really? But then they didn't have to do it. They weren't ordered, but tied in by a law to maim their prisoners.
If people are interested in a fluoridated area and interested in joining you, how do they do that?
Right. In a fluoridated area, where we have Group A claimants, and all they have to do is write to or access a website which is called Kingfisher Justice, and that Kingfisher Justice website is allied to the barrister who we have retained to carry through this action. And the website is https://kingfisherjustice.co.uk. It's a really simple page, it's very self-explanatory. Click on register, and the clerks at the chambers will send out a contract to be signed. Contract has to be signed between the claimant and the barrister, making the claimant a client.
Is that only in the fluoridated areas?
No, no. Then we have Group B, which are people living in threatened areas. And that includes the majority of the North East, which is 1.6 million people. And now we've got other people jumping on the bandwagon. The first one was Nottinghamshire and Nottingham City, closely followed by Rutland, Norfolk, Cornwall, Worcestershire, Leicester City, but not Leicestershire County at the moment. There seems to be a bit of resistance in Leicestershire, which is fine. And then we've got all the borderland villages surrounding Nottinghamshire in Lincolnshire, Derbyshire and Leicestershire.
And so all these places you mention are threatened at the moment with being fluoridated?
Yes. They're picking us off one by one, I feel. We lost the North East public consultation. It was a foregone conclusion. we heard it was a done deal. They're probably now signing the contract with the water company, and then the water company goes out to tender to find manufacturers for the fluoridation equipment for 11 water treatment works. It's going to cost about £67 million over 40 years, but it's money that we should not have to spend on something which doesn't do what it says on the tin.
OK, well, let's get to that. Can you come up with any actual scientific evidence that fluoride is bad for us?
Oh, absolutely, yes. In America, for 7 years, there has been a federal court case running in San Francisco. The judge has been incredibly patient. There are lots of witnesses, expert witnesses from both sides. The side that we were challenging was the Environmental Protection Agency, which refused to listen to a petition by anti-fluoridation groups. So the EPA got taken to court, as it were. In September last year, the judge finally made his pronouncement. Having read the National Toxicology Program report, which ran into pages and pages and pages, the report was a review, a systematic review, which looked at how there's a strong, strong correlation between a reduction in IQ and exposure to fluoride in the womb and when an infant is given fluoridated baby formula, or I should say baby formula made up with fluoridated tap water. We're talking about a reduction of 5 IQ points, which is not insignificant. It is significant, because that would make very, very bright children not quite so bright. But at the other end of the spectrum, the children who are not exactly clever would be special educational needs. And that's going to cost the government all the local education authorities lots of money in special education provision. The judge said in his ruling that at levels of fluoride in the American water, which is 0.7 average, fluoride poses an unreasonable risk to the health and IQ of children. That was September. The EPA had a chance to appeal. They're still humming and hawing about it, not quite sure. But a wonderful thing has happened recently, of course, is that the new Secretary for Health and Human Services in America is dead against fluoridation. And therefore, he is pushing very hard to try and get the EPA not to appeal.
So this is RFK Jr. you're talking about.
Yes, indeed.
Well, okay, so, I mean, you've just given one example there. Are there any from the UK where we can show that British people have been harmed by fluoride?
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, hypothyroidism is almost double in West Midlands compared to Greater Manchester, which is not fluoridated. We know that worldwide review of diabetes 2 shows that fluoride, which is an endocrine disruptor, so you have to think of how glucose is not converted into a not-so-dangerous product in the bloodstream by insulin from the pancreas. So we know that the endocrine system glands are affected. That's diabetes. Then we've got fractured bones, especially the hip, the neck of the femur, where we saw a Swedish study in 2021 where it showed that there was 50% more fracture in Swedish women who had drunk natural fluoride water all their lives compared to parts of Sweden which were not did not have fluoride in the drinking water.
What you're describing is an absolutely diabolical misuse of so-called public bodies to poison people, really. What do you think is actually really behind all this? I mean, it just sounds like somebody has either got it very, very wrong, or actually there's some sort of malice involved here.
Well, they got it wrong right from the start in America in 1948, when the Aluminium Company of America wanted to get rid of its waste and couldn't because it was too expensive. So it was hanging around doing no good. And there's a lot of things coalesced around that time. And They came up with a wonderful idea. Well, we can't treat it to make it neutralised. Let's put it in the drinking water, drip by drip by drip. It's not going to kill anybody like that, but it's a good way of getting rid of it. And it go into the sea eventually. We can't put it in the sea because we're not allowed to by international law. But if we just drip, drip, drip it in, it shouldn't cause any problems whatsoever. And they then came up with a great idea that, oh, didn't you know that Texas teeth are really resistant to decay? And they've got a lot of natural fluoride in their drinking water. So if you give it to children who are at risk of dental decay, then that will stop the decay.
So fluoride is a byproduct of the aluminium manufacturing, is it?
And phosphate manufacturing. These days it's mostly phosphates. In fact, what we have in this country coming in from the Negev Desert is from a phosphate factory.
With all this information, why is it, do you think, that politicians like Sir Ivan Lawrence, they're few and far between? In fact, we don't seem to have any now that are taking this up at all.
It is very difficult. They're all under the whip. Even my MP, I just can't get through to her. She won't reply to my letters now on fluoridation. Yeah, there are several reasons why I think this is such a stubborn policy which will not lie down. Both the Labour Party and the Conservatives are in favour. It is not in their manifestos. It is a policy which seems to have evolved. I think possibly it's the people behind the scenes, the establishment, who are much in favour of fluoridation for reasons of their own. They are permanent civil servants, and they perpetuate the policy through each government's life. Why they do it? Do they really think it's helping teeth? I don't think they think it's helping teeth. There's another reason. I mean, yeah, I'll come clean on this. I have no problem. I mean, no longer am I regarded as being a conspiracy theorist. Now we've got this judge's ruling in America, which has conclusively shown that IQ is reduced by exposure to fluoride when the child is in the womb or when drinking fluoridated formula. There's a lot to do with the fear of world governments about the expanding population. And if they hit upon a scheme which reduces our fecundity, then that's all to the good. It means you don't have quite so many babies.
What you're saying here kind of chimes in with my knowledge of the mass media, having worked in it and seen the way that it's changed over the last, well, should we say 40, 50 years, is that there's also an enormous amount of dumbing down goes on there, where you have so-called experts, and if you go to websites like, say, Spinwatch, Powerbase, places like that, you can see these experts are not really experts. They're paid by a certain industry. They're lobbyists, really. And so quite often when you see a head pop up on the TV, what the producer of that programme and the owners of those transmitters are not telling you is that this is somebody who is just spouting off a load of public relations for some corporation somewhere. So, you know, it seems to me there is a definitely within the mass media I've witnessed an enormous amount of dumbing down. So the other thing that they do is they make sure that certain points of view just simply do not get an airing at all. And, you know, I would actually add this whole sort of problem with fluoride to that list. I think maybe if you were to go back to the 70s and the 80s, there may well have been some discussion about this sort of thing, but very little nowadays. So do you think dumbing down is part of it? The idea is just that people are much more easy to manage when they're stupid?
Well, yes, we are dumbed down, I think. It's more to do with the fact that fluoride gets into the pineal gland and reduces the expression of melatonin, which helps us to sleep. So if we're all not getting enough sleep, we are dumbed down. But I'm not quite sure if the pineal gland is the centre of the soul or the spirit. I don't think it is. It's just it's a gland which produces melatonin, which doesn't in Western people. Fortunately, because I've been clean since 2003, I hope I've got my pineal gland function back.
Well, yeah. So,
take for example the publicity for the Northeast water fluoridation public consultation, March to July last year. One newspaper article, which lasted 8 hours. That morning there was a short article by a local public health professor in the online edition. We didn't see anything in paper form. Northeast, 1.6 million people. The Northern Echo reporter picked it up from GovWire, but he forgot. He didn't see the actual URL for reading the public consultation. So that didn't get published. So, yeah, here we are, guys. We've got a public consultation. Okay, that's it. How do I find out about it? Where is it? Well, it's... we forgot to put the URL on because the perpetrators didn't send that particular URL across to GovWire.
Well, this is just ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah. So they don't want people to...
The other thing was that 1.6 million people should have found out about it. Should have, shouldn't they, really? Apart from the babies. But what the perpetrators did was to email 300 organisations which had a say in this, like, for example, pro-fluoridation organisations, health organisations. They put everybody on that 300 long list of people who would either respond as an organisation or cascade it down to their members.
Hmm. But the actual population didn't hear about it hardly at all.
Correct. We then devised a website, which I'd already started because I suspected this was going to be needed, and that became Northeast Water Fluoridation Concerns, which is rather good because NEWFC sounds like a football club, so people are going to have a look at it and say, oh, it's a football club. Oh! I'm not quite sure whether it worked or not. But we did a website, and what we did was we dissected the public consultation questionnaire, and we gave people the answers to the questions and gave them all the references they needed to quote if they were going to take part. So if anybody did find out about the public consultation, they had it on a plate on how to respond.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. But, I mean, so what happened with it all? It's going ahead, is it?
Yeah, I mean, there were quite a few people who were against it, but, you know, we're not doing number counting here, are we? We're looking at reasons, and a lot of the reasons had been used in previous public consultation in Southampton, and those issues had been settled, so we're not listening to those reasons again. The whole length of time that public consultation was going, there was so little publicity. People didn't know what was happening. Hmm. We tried to spread it around a bit, but we're thin on the ground. We've concentrated on a few villages just to see what would happen, and we found that the ones in North Yorkshire, the North Yorkshire borderline with County Durham, which is in fact Rishi Sunak's constituency, 23 villages didn't even know there were collateral damage. They were getting water from Northumbria, not from Yorkshire Water. Nobody had told them. There's a small area up in northeast Cumbria, which is also gets water from Northumbrian Water. They didn't know. They weren't told. Nobody was told. It almost is like they expected people to find out about it by osmosis, but it didn't work. No one knew. And there's so very few people responded to the public consultation, which basically was a waste of time because we realised it was a done deal. They were determined. The establishment were determined to fluoridate more of England.
Do you think your campaign now ultimately can succeed, Joy?
If we get a sympathetic hearing, although the first thing we have to do is to cross swords with the government solicitors, we will give them all the good reasons why they shouldn't, and they will give us all the reasons why they should, in legal terms. And then we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's very strong. The Drinking Water Directive says that medicinal water is not drinking water.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a reasonably good chance. Can you just remind listeners how they can find you and what's the best way to find you online? I better give your exact address, because I tried putting in Anti-Fluoride Campaign UK and got absolutely nothing from the search.
Perhaps they were deliberately not allowing you to have anything. Okay, so we're... Fluoride Free Alliance UK, that will come up in the search engine. My email address is WM for mother, AF for Freddy, at live.co.uk. I'll repeat that for you. WMAF at live.co.uk. And I'm perfectly happy to receive any emails from anybody. They got the legal case, which can be accessed via https://kingfisherjustice.co.uk. And we need as many people who are fluoridated or threatened, or in people who are happy to donate to our legal costs, to go through that particular website address.
Okay, Joy Warren, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Tony.